Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today is on the air here on Sports Grid as we get you ready for the upcoming week in fantasy football. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Manick. We got you here for the next 2 hours talking fantasy football. Another big week ahead, of course. We'll get to some headlines. We'll talk about the first half of the regular season in the NFL, essentially, which is 2/3 of the fantasy season, but some of the players that overperformed and underperformed, and obviously go through every game on the NFL slate this week. But Davis, a lot of points scored last week. It was one of those good weeks in the NFL where a lot of, you know, point totals went over the projected total. And, you know, clearly the slate on paper this week doesn't quite look as good as it did last week, just to be honest. But hopefully we expect the unexpected with some key injuries, by the way, coming in on Friday that we have to address, and probably some replacements are needed as well.
Definitely going to need some replacements. T. Higgins already announced out. Looks like a couple of Houston Texans in that game. You know, sort of thought we were going to get a great game there between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Houston Texans. Opened as one of the higher total games of the entire slate. Trended down a little bit once we realized that T. Higgins wasn't playing. Obviously, the story of this week for fantasy football is, though, no Kansas City Chiefs, no Philadelphia Eagles, no Miami Dolphins. Those are 3 of the 5 highest scoring teams in the entire league. So not necessarily that fun to remove all of those fantasy options. I know, Craig, I am sitting here looking at all of my fantasy teams and I'm saying, oh, I don't have Travis Kelce. I don't have Patrick Mahomes. I don't have Tyreek Hill. I don't have Jalen Waddle. You know, it's not necessarily all that fun to bench DeAndre Swift and have to go, well, you know, I really hope Amari DiMercato gets some carries for the Arizona Cardinals this week. But as always, a lot of interesting stuff and looking forward to breaking down with you for the next couple hours here.
Yeah, we'll go through it all. Let's start off with some headlines here on the show. Boy, what a win for the Minnesota Vikings last week. And I mean, who knows? I mean, they're over 500. Maybe they get back Justin Jefferson at some point. Right now he's activated to return, but has not put a definitive date on that. Joshua Palmer, by the way, also no timetable to return, as a very big game for the Chargers coming up against the Lions. Jackson Smith Ejigba off the Seattle injury report. Seattle's trying for a get right spot. And Davis, let's dive in to what we saw on Thursday Night Football. The Bears beat the Panthers 16-13. Carolina is having a miserable season. They drafted Bryce Young first overall. And I still think that there's a chance that Bryce Young will end up being very good in the NFL. But the optics, at least for the time being, in case anybody missed that Thursday night game, you look at 10 points, you say, well, how bad could it have been? 7 of them were on a punt return. So, Davis, naturally, the question that I've been asking here on this show and even on my other show, too, is when Frank Reich says, hey, Andy Dalton, let's give Bryce Young a break. I mean, people seem to be laughing at that idea. I don't know, Davis. I think this could be coming. It would probably help the fantasy value for a lot. I just don't know if that's the right decision to make if you are the Panthers.
Well, it would definitely help Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen fantasy managers had to start the year thinking they were, you know, absolute geniuses, right? Like, oh, I took this guy in the 13th round. He scores a bazillion points every single week. But really, if you look at it, I mean, we got a 9-game, 10-week sample now for the Carolina Panthers. The only weeks that Thielen, you know, really got there for fantasy were weeks where the Panthers were just getting completely blown out and they were able to entirely, right, you know, give up on the run. I mean, I don't think it's insane to have Andy Dalton step in. I just would basically say, like, you know, this, what's the point? You know, I mean, because we are already at the stage of Bryce Young's career where you got to start evaluating what you want to do, because this upcoming offseason for the Panthers, they, of course, do not have their first round pick. You know, that first round pick is in the hands of the team that just beat them on Thursday night, the Chicago Bears. And you have to say, all right, well, do we pay T. Higgins a bazillion dollars in free agency? Do we try and sign a couple offensive linemen? Do we make some trades up in the NFL draft to try and, you know, because another thing is that division is terrible, man. That division is the worst division in football. 9 wins is going to win that division for the foreseeable future. I don't really see any of those other 3 teams turning it around and becoming a juggernaut there in that division. I don't, it does feel bad, right? It feels pretty, pretty bad to maybe have taken the 4th best quarterback in that draft and given up DJ Moore, multiple assets to do it. It doesn't feel on the face of it all that good.
Oh, and on top of it, they committed a lot of money to Miles Sanders, which was surprising at the time, I think, in a long-term deal. And Sanders has just not delivered on that. On the side of the Bears, real quick, Davis, you know, I just don't really think that we can gain a lot from what we've seen on the Bears, because Tyson Bagent, he's been up, he's been down. You know, I guess Deontay Foreman has to be considered one of the bigger surprises in fantasy over the last few weeks, too. I know that Khalil Herbert would come back, but my gosh, like, Foreman looks pretty playable in all fantasy leagues. And on top of it, I don't know what the Bears are going to do with Justin Fields at this point. I suppose he'll come back and he'll play. Just like, and we'll talk about Kyler Murray being announced on Friday that he is back and he is going to play as well. Both of those teams could be even going different directions in the offseason with a quarterback, but I guess I would expect Fields to come back. I just don't have really a lot on the Bears at this point. There's 2 or 3 playable players, but I guess that's more than Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you can play DJ Moore. I guess you can play Cole Kmet. I think really the only meaningful thing I have to say about Tyson Bagent would be that he has earned himself a ton of money. He is going to be one of these guys who sticks around the NFL as a backup quarterback now for, you know, he is going to be the new Chase Daniel, Matt Barkley style guy. Like he, you know, very unlike Josh Rosen, who just flamed out and is not on a roster at all. Actually, and I think the same thing too is going to happen to Zach Wilson, where after this season, I think we just will never, Zach Wilson won't be on an NFL roster anymore. I do think with Khalil Herbert coming back, Foreman is probably, I mean, he might even go back to being a healthy scratch. He actually was a healthy scratch before. Before Khalil Herbert was out, Roschon Johnson was leading the way there. And then Roschon Johnson had that multiple week. He missed 2 games with a concussion, which kind of allowed Foreman to get back into that rotation there. Sort of interesting to see how that develops. I'm also pretty interested, you know, who will take on Justin Fields this offseason, because the Bears get one of the first 2 picks. Well, really the first 3 picks, actually, because Marvin Harrison Jr. probably is going to be pretty attractive up there at the top. They're taking Caleb Williams or they're taking Drake May. I mean, I just don't, there's no other option. Like, if we have enough information to know Justin Fields is not, you know, the next MVP winning, Super Bowl winning quarterback, like in this situation, maybe he would have had that ability. Maybe he would have that ability with another team or another coach. So that's a pretty big question. Next fantasy offseason, is Justin Fields a Viking? Is he a Tampa Bay Buccaneer? You know, who takes him on? He's not owed a ton of money and he's not going to get paid. Like, his free agent contract won't end up being that large. So pretty interested to see where he ends up going.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay, the Rams. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that, you know, may be middling with the guys that they have. I mean, certainly you could make the case that even if Fields is a bottom 5 starting quarterback in the NFL, that's good enough to get another shot in the NFL. We've seen it time and time again. All right, so let's take our first time out here of the show. We come back, more fantasy football discussion as we get you ready for the upcoming week in fantasy football. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Grid. And we'll be back right after this timeout. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To go through this discussion with Davis, because it is time for Start or Sit. And yes, big questions coming this week in fantasy football. If you missed the beginning of the show, we got no Philly this week. We got no KC. We got no Miami. It's like three of the top four or five teams in the NFL in scoring are all taking the week off. Well, here's who's not. The Indianapolis Colts. And Davis, I did not have on my bingo card the Colts being this prolific offense at the beginning of the season, even without Anthony Richardson. Maybe that's going a little bit too strong. I think Davis probably because their defense isn't very good. Maybe that's why they're scoring. And honestly, last week it was a couple of defensive touchdowns. But how about this Zach Moss continuing, for the most part, to at least get equal time with Jonathan Taylor? Dare I say he's outperformed him on the season, 615 rushing yards and six touchdowns. I just don't know how, in a week with so many players off, that Moss isn't probably starting, at least in a flex spot. What do you think?
Yeah, he would be right on the borderline for me at this stage, I think. So Zach Moss, every week of the season, even once Jonathan Taylor had came back, he had played at least 40% of the snaps on offense for Indianapolis. Last week in that big win against Carolina was the first time that they really started to keep him on the bench and bring Jonathan Taylor in. It was Jonathan Taylor's season high in touches, season high in snaps. Zach Moss played only 13 snaps on offense, seven rushing attempts for 26 yards, no targets in the passing game. Now, this is the Frankfurt game. They're traveling over there to play in Germany. So, you know, I actually do think that throws kind of a wrench in how teams prepare for these things. There definitely is a chance that, you know, they're like, we got to keep these guys fresh. We got to rest them. Like, they didn't get any sleep, whatever. I mean, it's in figuring out the playing time in some of these spots has been pretty confusing. I have Zach Moss in a couple leagues, picked him up off the waiver wire pretty early on in the season. I would lean on the side of sit. I just think, you know, Jonathan Taylor is Jonathan Taylor. They paid him $42 million. He seems to be fully healthy now. He did have an off-season surgery. It seemed like his stay on the physically unable to perform list was like pretty legit, that it actually was a physical problem and not necessarily just a fake holdout, although obviously definitely was partially a holdout. I would err on the side of sitting for Zach Moss.
All right, so sit Zach Moss. Now, this is an interesting name because a few weeks ago, we probably thought we were down the road of saying sit all the time. But Davis, Najee Harris showing some signs of life here at the midpoint of the NFL season. At the end of the fantasy season, I mean, I think he's a must start until I see otherwise. I know the numbers are ugly, okay? They're not good. 382 yards, he doesn't catch the ball. He only has two touchdowns. But Davis, I don't know, starting to look a little bit better for the Steelers. Maybe he's found the fountain of Alabama. I don't know. But I got to say, I cannot imagine having two better options than Najee Harris going into the week.
Yes. I mean, you would have to have, you'd have to have a very good fantasy team, I think. Now, granted, if you took Najee Harris in your draft, and this isn't like a dynasty league or somewhere where you traded for him, you did, you know, waste a fourth round pick on Najee Harris, who has just really not been that good. He does have two touchdowns on the year. They are using him. I mean, it is clear Jalen Warren is kind of the pace and space passing down back. They definitely prefer to throw the ball to Jalen Warren, but Najee is the clear goal line back. Like, they get down there on the 3 yard line and Najee is going to get multiple cracks at getting the ball in the end zone. They are a favorite this week against the Green Bay Packers. I suppose I would err on the side of starting Najee Harris if you had him. I probably would prefer in most spots a wide receiver with like a wider range of outcomes. You know, let's say Tank Dell versus Najee Harris. I'm definitely taking Tank Dell in the flex there. But yeah, most teams who have Najee Harris, I think you're starting him.
Yeah, Najee Harris. I agree with you, Davis. And I know that you're not a big Najee guy, but, you know, at least you're giving a little bit, your 2% love to Najee Harris here on the show. Okay, the Baltimore Ravens, interesting team that has had these leads, Davis, and they sort of been sitting, so it's kind of hard to see what to do with these wide receivers. Now, I mean, Zay Flowers feels to me like he's in a pretty good matchup. You know, Keaton Mitchell got so much attention last week in garbage time, and you know what the Ravens are going to do in the NFL. They're going to take these 8-point leads, 9-point leads, and just run the ball into the ground. But Flowers, I think for a rookie, I mean, he's not Jordan Addison, Davis, but I think he's certainly showing that in dynasty leagues, he's probably somebody that you want to own. You know, 45 receptions on 52 targets. What's he projecting out here at this point? 900 yards. He really is not getting in the end zone. So, flexy, I guess, flexish type option for Zay Flowers. But again, with so many players off, was he a borderline guy for you?
I think Zay Flowers earned enough respect for me at the beginning of the season to just sort of be like, well, he does have a really good range of outcomes. I think the issue that we've seen with Flowers is he's been really inefficient targeted down the field. He has been very efficient when targeted close. I mean, he has been just as good of a target earner as Mark Andrews for the Ravens this year. Had 10 targets in his very first NFL game, 11 targets against Pittsburgh, 8 against Tennessee. It's just that, you know, he's kind of like Wandale Robinson just on a good team. You know, he only gets these targets 4 or 5 yards down the field. And then when he does get targeted deep down the field, he doesn't come down with them. I'm saying start because I actually think Baltimore just crushes Cleveland this week. I think they score the most points that the Cleveland defense has allowed this week. And I also think it's kind of one of those, you know, divisional rival, like, you know, let's really impose our will on this team. Let's beat them and let's beat them good. But again, I actually very similar. I would with Najee, I wouldn't blame you if you sat Najee, wouldn't blame you if you started him. Same deal with Zay. Like, I think he is a start, but I don't think he's a must start.
All right. We talked about this player. I think, Sam, you do this guy two weeks in a row for us here, Jahan Dotson. I feel like, did we do him last week? I can't remember, but we're doing it again. Okay. Thanks, Sam. David said start him. It was a good call. Didn't Dotson score? That was a really good call by you. 57 targets, 34 receptions, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns. Washington, Davis, if I'm not mistaken, they got some real juicy, winnable fantasy games coming up here. So I think that at the end of the year, whatever you see here on Dotson's numbers, I think they're going to go up. And for whatever reason, McLaurin is just not Howell's guy.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem very bizarre the way that Howell has been distributing these targets. Last week for the Commanders, there were 9 guys with 2 or more targets. Dotson did end up having a good game. Actually, I'm going to go the other way. I think Curtis Samuel is going to be back this week, and Jamison Crowder has played really well the last 2 weeks. And kind of what happens in these situations, you know, in the NFL, which is that guy is out, replacement plays well, guy comes back. The new guys kind of, they get back into the rotation. So now we might see the Commanders playing 4 wide receivers. We might see Deami Brown getting a little bit of work. Antonio Gibson, you know, Antonio, how many times have we left Antonio Gibson for dead? But he's actually been pretty efficient in the passing game for the last couple weeks. You know what? Actually, I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to say I would start Dotson over Flowers because Dotson's good games are really good. Dotson's good games include like 40-yard touchdowns, things like that, because he's so efficient down the field. It's just he has not been a very good target earner. Again, another borderline guy. I would start DeMario Douglas, the Patriots wide receiver, over both Zay Flowers and Dotson this week if you got him off waivers.
Yeah, interesting. DeMario Douglas, I think, again, I know we touted him a little bit last week, but I agree with you. Belichick, at some point, has got to just pivot away completely from this, you know, garbage that they have going on this season. They're not winning any more games. This is a perfect week to do it. We'll see if they do it this week in Frankfurt, Germany. Okay, let's take a timeout here on the show. We got plenty more to come right here on Fantasy Sports Today as Davis and I continue on. By the way, for those of you who are asking in terms of fantasy football season, even when the regular season ends in fantasy and we get to the playoffs in fantasy, for those of you who may have missed out on our show last year, we run this fantasy all the way through the Super Bowl. So we're going to be doing daily fantasy and we'll be talking a lot of dynasty and we run all the way through before the next Major League Baseball season. We got a lot of time to go before baseball season. We got 4 or 5 months here. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Right. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Well, normally, if you've been watching the show all season long, we've been talking about trades in fantasy. And ironically, before we get to this, we're going to talk in this segment about the studs and duds. That's what we're going to do. So I'm stealing the thunder. But Davis, I made a trade in fantasy. And by the way, for somebody who's made so many trades through the years in fantasy baseball, fantasy football, Davis, I was shocked. I'm in one league, my dynasty league, which I won last year. I won the whole entire thing. I'm doing fine. I got a good team. I feel like I'm probably going to be headed toward like, you know, 5 seed or 6 seed in the playoffs. This is the league with all the baseball players, with Brad Ziegler and Billy Butler and all those guys. I'm good in that league. In my home league for 30 years, I'm always the best, but not anymore because everybody has all the info. So there's no like, oh, who's that anymore? Like this league, everybody knows everybody. And I had the 12th pick. So, which I never won again. It was a horrible start for me. So all of a sudden I'm 3-6. I know I got to win every game the rest of the season. And you know the story. I'm just telling it to the viewers that I texted you because I got this trade offer out of nowhere that the first place team, the team that was 7-2, and he lives in South Florida, which I guess is why he wanted to do this deal. He offered me Derrick Henry for Devon Achan. And I was looking at it like, how quickly do I accept this? Like, I have to win this week. Achan is off. Even if he rushes for 600 yards in the next 3 weeks, that ain't going to matter if I lose this week. And I think, Davis, the reason why I want to bring this up for everybody is that if you are sitting at 3-6 in your fantasy league, do whatever you can to win. You cannot lose again. Some leagues go by points. Mine does, too, for the final playoff spot. But unless you're in a fantastic position in points, and I can't imagine you are at 3-6, this is the week to do whatever you can to win. And next week, by the way, you got to do the same thing. I think you got to finish 7-6 pretty much to get in the fantasy football playoffs.
Yeah, it was a trade you absolutely had to make, but I think you illustrate a pretty good example, which is like that sucks to do. Devin Achane is going to score more. Yeah, Devin Achane is going to score more points the rest of the way than Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Well, I guess assuming that he doesn't get hurt again. I mean, the guy's pretty small, but Henry is in a decent spot this week. Not the best, but I mean, it's just Derrick Henry. Like he's going to do fine, and he's got a ceiling to score a 70-yard touchdown in any given week because he is Derrick Henry. It was a trade you had to make, but yeah, sometimes, and by the way, your buddy who sent you this trade, genius. He's already going to make the playoffs. He's looking at a top two seed and he's like, how do I win this? How do I have a higher ceiling? Well, I trade the 30-year-old guy and I get the 23-year-old guy who's going to score more points in the fantasy playoffs. That's kind of a rare win-win trade in fantasy football, actually.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm realistic. I'm 3-6. I think I'm going to win this week now. I think it may give me a better chance to win in 2 weeks, too. A lot of my guys have already had off. But once you get to that sixth loss in fantasy, I think you're playing every week as it's the last week of the season, unless something has gone so drastically wrong in terms of probable outcomes with bad luck. But for me, I don't have a lot of points, too. I'm just not having a good year in that league. Okay, it's time now for us to go to the studs and duds in fantasy in 2023. Now, these are players that were drafted high, that underperformed, or drafted low and outperformed their ADP. So, Davis, let's get started with you. Who do you got as your fantasy? I guess we're starting with duds here, your fantasy duds to start the season.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, we're gonna say the things we get right on this show. I got to give the two guys who I was most wrong on, Tony Pollard and Devontae Adams. Absolutely love these guys coming into the season. Would frequently take them ahead of ADP, was taking Devontae Adams, you know, over Amon-Ra St. Brown, sometimes over A.J. Brown, which feels, just literally feels insane. Looking at it now, feels like one of the dumbest things I've ever done. Tony Pollard, I mean, I do not know what happened to this guy, but he just has a negative juice. I mean, just straight, like, he's got the man has no juice at all. I don't, and maybe he scores a bunch of points this weekend against the Giants because everyone scores a bunch of points against the Giants. They're basically a junior varsity team playing in the NFL right now. But these are the two guys I have to wear the most. I think T. Higgins is it's sort of interesting because it feels like he's always been overdrafted. It feels like every year of T. Higgins' career, he's just... We're always hoping a little bit on T. Higgins. And again, I mean, right now he's injured. He is not going to be playing on Sunday with a hamstring injury. He's already missed some time with an injury already this year. Jamar Chase continues to outproduce him, as always. And then the Mahomes one is fascinating because obviously Mahomes has been fine. You know, it's not like I believe he has the fourth most points of any quarterback this year in fantasy. But he has kind of killed you relative to where he was drafted, because Allen's scoring more points, Hurts is scoring more points, Lamar is scoring more points. It's not And he hasn't had the same insane ceiling. That's been the big difference. His big games this year have been like 24, 25, 26, not 32, 33, 34. And that's kind of I kind of refer to that, especially at running back, as like the silent killer. You know, like when you get a lot of 17-point weeks, it's nice, but you really need those 25-point weeks. So those are my duds, and they're on a lot of my teams. It does not feel that good.
All right, so guys, we're going to go to my duds next. We're going to go a little off the grid here on Sports Grid next. So you guys pull up the graphic of my duds next, because I want to do that. Because I do want to start with my biggest mistake of the fantasy season. And Davis, I got to tell you, this is going to be a pivot and a change for me in the future in fantasy. So we've had this conversation before the season, and it was a really long, worthwhile, like 15-minute segment about taking players you absolutely don't want to, but you have to put the blinders on and go back down the well again. A perfect example of a player just happens to play the same position, Davis, I think, is Rob Gronkowski. People would take Gronk way too high. He'd play three games. He'd be out for five. You'd be out of the playoffs and go, I'm never taking this guy again. In baseball, in fantasy, Davis, I'm going to give you the same, another guy. First round in fantasy, you remember him, Davis. Troy Tulowitzki. He's on the Rockies. Oh. How bad can it be? He's going to be awesome. He's going to have a great year. I mean, your guy was Mondesi, but he was never like first round. Troy Tulowitzki. Stud of a fantasy player for like 2 years, and every other year you're getting your 80 games. This guy for me, Davis, is Darren Waller, and I'm going against myself next year. I am not taking him again. I don't care what team he's on. I don't care how great he is in the camp. I don't care that no one can cover him. With all due respect, this is not a personal thing. It's just I am changing the way that I think, because this is the third year in a row in some fantasy league that I've been burned. And Waller probably will get cut by the Giants. He'll be on another team next year. He'll be drafted in like the 17th round. But he is, to me, the biggest dud in fantasy because he's on my team. Got to do it. Chris Godwin, Davis, is the other one on Tampa Bay. I did not expect this kind of drop-off, even from Tom Brady. He has been a non-starter all season long. And then, as we saw on Thursday night, Miles Sanders, I just don't know why Carolina signed this guy to this kind of contract. Like, of all the players that and all the running backs, with all of this chatter that we've had about not giving running backs the money, I could make the case for a lot of running backs like Barkley and maybe even Cook, to be honest with you. I think Cook would have been better in Carolina, but gosh, this Miles Sanders, I mean, you said it before the season, someone's going to take him in the fifth round and then immediately is going to be very unhappy with their season. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, the Godwin thing is very surprising to me. I'd never really imagined him being a guy that you didn't really want to start in fantasy. The Waller thing did get, I mean, it got out of control, right? I mean, he ended up being the fourth tight end drafted, which is insane. But, you know, that one, I guess the Waller thing is like, is anyone really surprised Darren Waller let them down? Like, probably not. Miles Sanders had been a letdown every year of his career in fantasy football until last season, and then went from maybe the best rushing offense in football to maybe the worst. Yeah, I mean, the Godwin thing really bums me out, though, because I think he's good, but he has left us in jail right now.
All right, your fantasy studs, Davis, for 2023.
All right, yeah, fantasy studs. I mean, I think a couple of them are pretty obvious. Devin Achain, can't really think. The guy's still the 14th highest scoring running back in fantasy. He's played about three games. His teammate, Tyreek Hill, Sam Laporta, going to end up being one of the biggest wins at tight end this year. DeAndre Swift has cooled down a little bit, but the reason why I think he's a win is if you just look at the picks, go back and look at ADP, round 7 to round 9, try and find anyone you're starting in fantasy football from there. So not only did Swift, you know, out-earn where he's going, but he also kept you for making some terrible picks. Could have gone Nico Collins, could have gone Adam Thielen for this last first half stud. I'm going Nico because I think he will continue to score more points. He's not going to play this weekend. No practice this week for him, but I do think he will end up being on a bunch of championship teams the final month of the season.
All right, so you did a much better job than me. I probably took the easy way out. So A.J. Brown, wherever he was drafted, it was too low in the first round or second round. He's been the best wide receiver in fantasy. Travis Etienne, another player who probably is outperforming way above where his draft position was, but still is a stud. And Davis, how am I the guy that does Puka Nacua here? Puka Nacua was the best pick in fantasy football this season, if you took him, if you drafted him in fantasy. Is there any argument to that? He's the number one stud, isn't he?
So there's...
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Definitely know our, I mean, his teammate Kyren Williams also, you know, when he was available. I think this might be the issue with Mr. Nacua, though, in terms of when we look back on this season. I think the Rams might just be cooked. I think the Rams might just have no gas. You know, they might, Stafford might not play. And so you're like, oh, I started my year so great, I can't start Nacua in the fantasy playoffs.
That could very well be the case. After all, Davis's favorite player is going to be starting for them in a couple weeks. Commander Carson, he's back with the Rams. Will Davis use him in DFS this week? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. You're trying to win $1 million over on DraftKings. We can try to give you some advice. You should pick whoever you want if you're, of course, playing in that. But what we're here to do is help you make those decisions. And so Davis and Craig back with you here on the show as we take a look at Davis's picks this week in Daily Fantasy. And these prices are over on DraftKings. So, Davis, I guess without further ado, let's take a look at the quarterback position. And let's start with the idea, because I guess of the pricing, you'll have to tell me. But, you know, Kyler Murray, who was announced Friday as the starter against Atlanta, at 5,900, my guess is, now again, I'm gonna take a shot here, Davis. I'm gonna guess this is the lowest price Kyler Murray has ever been on a DFS slate, and for good reason. The guy hasn't played in a year, but he's 5,900. We got Lamar Jackson at 8,300. Joe Burrow, wow, that's a good price too, 6,800. He's been great, and then Will Levis at 5,300. But let's start with Murray here. Make the case here as to why specifically he shows up this week for you.
Yeah, cheapest he's ever been. I think, I mean, if we get 100% Kyler Murray, if Kyler Murray runs, you know, 11 times and is doing his Stewie Griffin impersonation, you know, spinning around in circles there in the backfield, like, he's going to be awesome. You're going to basically have had to have played him, I think, to win money on Sunday on DraftKings. Now, that's not my expectation. My expectation would be he scrambles a couple times, probably doesn't run very much around the goal line. Again, you know, very open to being wrong about that. And I think it's a good matchup. You know, Atlanta, they absolutely stink. They just gave up the most incredible game of the season to Josh Dobbs, who didn't know the names of his teammates, didn't know the cadence. Like, I don't think the bar to clear versus Atlanta is all that high. Now, Lamar Jackson is going up against the best defense or the second best defense in the NFL, depending on which metrics you are looking at. But really, my rule with Lamar Jackson is any time that he is going to be less than 5% owned, and any time that Mark Andrews is going to be less than 5% owned or close to it on DraftKings, I'm just going to be playing those guys. They basically, I mean, maybe A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts have or Mahomes and Kelsey have a higher combined ceiling, but I'm not sure. It really might be like, I mean, those guys can combine for 5 touchdowns in a game. Like, that's just how efficient they are. And people are sort of off of the Ravens because Gus Edwards has been scoring every touchdown for them. Gus Edwards had more fantasy points than snaps played last week. That's where we're at with them. And then Burrow and CJ Stroud are both going to be popular, although I think less popular with T. Higgins not playing and Nico Collins probably not playing because, you know, it's just a little bit less attractive with Trenton Irwin and Robert right. Woods playing big roles in that game. And my favorite cheap option of the week is definitely Will Levis with DeAndre Hopkins in that game against the Buccaneers. I've been super impressed by what I've seen with Levis his first 2 weeks.
Yeah, agreed. And I think Levis has a chance to have a big game against Tampa Bay. Now, at running back, it's a little thinner because of all the bye weeks. So Travis Etienne is priced at 7,100. And I'm curious your thoughts on that matchup, too, against San Francisco. That would appear to be a tough one. Kenneth Walker, 6,800. Bijan Robinson, look, they're going to keep pricing him until he starts getting used more at 6,000. And, hey, Alexander Mattison, Davis, here we go again. Like, shot number 12 for Alexander Mattison. He had a chance without Cook. He had a chance with Akers, without Akers. I mean, it's his backfield again here. I thought he looked better last week in that game that they ended up winning. I think he got in the end zone, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But 5,000 for Mattison.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not rushing to play Alexander Mattison. It's not making me feel great to have him in there. But he is Alexander Mattison, and he has been fine in these spots before where he gets like literally 100% of the work. In fact, if you go back to week one and week two, it was actually fullback CJ Ham playing as the second running back, not even Ty Chandler. So I do think you'll get 18 to 20 touches here for Mattison, most likely. I will, again, fall victim to Arthur Smith and Bijan Robinson. I know it's not going to work. I know I'm going to play Bijan, and he's going to look great, and then they're going to get to the three-yard line and hand the ball to Tyler Algier because that's just what this team is doing. $6,000 Bijan Robinson. I can't say no. I do love this matchup for Kenneth Walker. Really, anytime the Seahawks are like a pretty big favorite, I want to be on Kenneth Walker now. Charbonnet actually played more than him each of the last 2 weeks and has looked a little bit better. But my whole deal with Kenneth Walker is the Seahawks know what they have in him. They know he is a home run hitter at running back. He is not a guy who, you know, consistently gets 4 yards, 5 yards. It's going to be a lot of carries that are, you know, not successful carries. Do not get the yards that you need, but he is going to break off those home runs. And then I love ETN here in this spot because Tony Pollard is going to be the most expensive or most popular running back there on DraftKings in the 7,000s. Right. I can't do it anymore. It's hurting me. It is hurting me. I loved him so much, but I think that if you give me the option between, you know, 10-12% owned Travis Etienne and a 15-20% owned Tony Pollard, I'm going to take Etienne and if Pollard beats me, you know what? I will absolutely tip my cap to him, and it will make me so happy if Pollard can get 20 fantasy points, honestly.
Yeah. He didn't have the obligation to tell us before the season that he was going to make CeeDee Lamb into a top 5 pick in fantasy, but you know that's what he's done. And they really haven't fully committed to run the ball at all like they had in years past. The play calling is completely different, Davis, in Dallas. I don't know if it's better or for worse. We're not going to know until the end of the year and in the playoffs, but it is the CeeDee Lamb show, and very few others get involved in that offense. And it's great for CeeDee Lamb, but not so much for anybody else. Okay, so Ja'Marr Chase, as we're doing the show, is trending toward playing. But very clearly, folks, if you are setting a lineup Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern or later, make sure you see that Ja'Marr Chase is active for this game because T. Higgins is out. But it's a great call if, indeed, he does play. Mike Evans, 7,200. Chris Olave of the Saints is 6,400. Debo Samuel is back. He's going to play this week for the Niners at 6,200. And then a return appearance for Jackson Smith and Jigba, one of our weekly features here in JSN.
Yeah, they gotta price him up. I mean, he had 13 points last week, and they made him less expensive in a slate where we don't have, you know, an obvious, like most weeks we've kind of had an obvious value guy. You know, DeMario Douglas, Wandale Robinson. We had Devin Singletary at running back last week. We've had a couple of those, but there's not really one of those guys that sticks out this week. I mean, JSN sort of has been. He's actually, the last couple weeks, he's just been a victim of the fact that the Seahawks absolutely cannot score points in the second half. It is so bizarre. I do not know what happens to this team in the second half of games, but they are home favorites here against the Commanders. I do like this. I do like this spot for them. The Chase thing, I mean, it is sort of interesting. Do you think Chase gets worse or better when T. Higgins doesn't play? This could be trending now less towards a shootout, more towards a lot of running. I think obviously the Texans kind of have control there because without Damian Pierce, I mean, last week they were trying to run Devin Singletary and it was ugly, man. Like handing the ball off to Devin Singletary on first downs was not working. Second half of the game, they start to dial up the passes. The points start coming. And if they decide to do that, then yeah, obviously Chase is going to get a lot of targets. Remember, he's kind of dealing with a back injury. So I think he's probably going to play. But if, I mean, I guess just if neither Chase nor Higgins is playing, you got to look at Tyler Boyd and Trent Irwin. I will continue to play Chris Olave every single week that he is below $7,000 on DraftKings. The target volume is still really good. Scored a touchdown last week, but did not corral any of his deep targets. Mike Evans, $7,200. I think that Tampa Bay-Tennessee game, kind of sneaky for DFS. Both of those teams are really good run defenses, but pretty poor pass defenses. And, you know, if just things go the right way, Mike Evans scores a long one, DeAndre Hopkins scores a long one, that speeds the game up. I also, as I mentioned, I mean, I have been pretty impressed by the performance that Will Levis has put on thus far this year. And I think, actually, Baker Mayfield has been way better than people give him credit for. I mean, people were thinking Baker Mayfield was done. You know, you can't have him in the NFL. He has, like, been a very fine... Actually, his numbers this year are, per attempt, better than Brady's were last season. You know, 7 yards adjusted per attempt, 12 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And I definitely can foresee a scenario where the Buccaneers and the Titans maybe get into a little bit of a shootout, at least relative to what the players cost in daily fantasy. You know, Baker's cheap, Levis is cheap, Hopkins is fairly cheap, Evans a little bit more expensive. And we did just tell you that Chris Godwin was on our dud list. But Craig, my number one play this week, my gold star flag plant play, Deebo Samuel, coming off of this injury where I believe he injured his bicep. It's been a kind of quiet year for Deebo, only 397 yards and 2 touchdowns on offense, all anyone wants to talk about. With the 49ers, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's been unbelievable, and then they just want to argue about, is Brock Purdy good or is he bad? I think that price range, 6,200, I think he just is, I think your mind just kind of scrolls over him a little bit. So Deebo, I think, has, I mean, obviously he's got an insane ceiling every single week that he plays. And I think that we see 20-plus fantasy points from Deebo this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so there you go. Deebo, 6,200 this week as he returns in that game. All right, at tight end, we'll cap it off here with Mark Andrews, who's one of the higher-priced tight ends this week at 6,900 with no Kelce. That's going to be the case. TJ Hockenson, my gosh, Dobbs was throwing that guy the ball, Davis, constantly last week once he got in the game. 5,000 there. Trey McBride is 3,500. And then your cheap option here is Irv Smith Jr. at 2,700.
Yep. So, I mean, Andrews, pretty self-explanatory. When Travis Kelce is not on a slate, he is the highest ceiling guy. Hockenson, I mean, Hockenson got 12 targets last week, and it's sort of a continuation of what was happening with Josh Dobbs in Arizona, where he was targeting Zach Ertz and Trey McBride a ton when he was the quarterback there. Hockenson, I suppose, reportedly is dealing with a rib injury. He says he's fine. He says he's going to play. I don't really have any concerns there. McBride at 3,500 already, I mean, I think we can write off everything with the Arizona Cardinals from last week, like just Clayton Tune, poor guy. He didn't ask for that. He got thrown to the wolves a little bit last week. But McBride, I think a very high ceiling. I think he's going to be very popular and rightfully so on DraftKings. And then someone from the Bengals is going to have to step up. Irv Smith Jr. actually saw only 49% of the snaps last week for the Bengals, but was third on the team in targets, scored a touchdown. They've been looking for him a little bit more in the red zone. He's 2,700. I do like him. I mean, the tight end spot is going to be so weird this week with Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson being so popular, kind of the mid-4,000s. I do like the idea of saving some money at that spot this week and paying up for maybe Christian McCaffrey, 2 expensive wide receivers, getting in a Lamar Jackson there, a quarterback, how about paying all the way up for the $4,400 Dallas Cowboys defense against those New York Giants? Got to think pretty high ceiling there for that Cowboys defense against the Giants.
Yeah, that's the must play, I think, of the week. I saw the Cowboys added in virtually every fantasy league, you know, this season. I actually had to add... I think I added Carlson. We never do kickers here because we don't play DFS, but I added Davis Carlson, I think, was because Butker's off this week. So that was the guy that I'm going to insert there. But again, I got a win in one of my leagues this week. Can't lose again. All right, let's take a quick time out here on the show. We come back next. We'll preview the second hour of the show. If you're just tuning in, we're going to go through every game in the NFL this weekend, go through every player that you should be starting or sitting as we go through our capsules game by game. That's coming up in just 10 minutes from now. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock here as we are getting ready for our second hour of fantasy programming here on Sports Grid. We're going to have a Week 10 fantasy breakdown. We're going to go through every game and look at every player, tell you who's in, who's out, who to play, who not. We're going to do a little fantasy or reality, so stay with us for that. And then we've got the Sports Grid 60. And then, Davis, Sunday morning, it is the final international game between Indianapolis and New England. I know that we got our fill. I mean, you got that one-off international game last week with Kansas City and Miami. I mean, I don't know. Was it as good as you thought it was going to be? I think it came close. But I guess for you, it was probably no fun at all, right? Because the Chiefs were up big and almost gave it away.
Well, just the Chiefs are so annoying. Like, they just don't get tested. It just feels like teams, they haven't really had to try that hard this year. You know, they tried against Denver, but it was just like they were stuck in the mud the entire game. That was actually the first time all year that the defense, that the team gave up more than 20 points. What I will say, though, look, I like Mike McDaniel. Great dude. Actually, if you don't know anything about like kind of his story, his life, I would encourage you to go look it up because he's got some pretty insightful things to say that are not just about football. But Craig, every time the Dolphins come up against like a real top five contending, they just get smoked, man. Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, they get and it sucks because I want them to succeed. I'd love to see a Chiefs Dolphins AFC Conference Championship game, but they just get ran by the really good AFC teams.
Yeah, my guess is, you know, a lot of people in South Florida, we talk about this a lot. My guess is, Davis, the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs, and I think they're going to host a home game, and I think they're going to win. And I think that's their season. I think that's what it's going to be this year. But I don't see it going further than that. But I do think they're going to host a game, and it's going to be fun. And you know, I don't even know the last time that they've hosted a home playoff game and won. I mean, maybe 10 years. Anyway, we'll preview the games coming up next. We'll be right back.